Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 8, our verse for the year. See, I have set before you an which no one is able to shut. Quick recap, final part of our mini-series, Trapdoors. A three-week series. If you've missed any of them, you can catch up on YouTube. But the enemy loves to distort God's word, and he loves to distort God's ways. And the devil's tactic is to distort God's word, and he tries to set his own open doors for us to walk through. And I've called these trapdoors. We think they're potentially a door from God, but actually it's a trapdoor from the enemy. And our challenge is to recognize what is an open door from God and what is a trapdoor from the enemy. Matthew 16, 23, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan, you are a dangerous trap to me." There are dangerous trapdoors out there. Good news is we can put on the mind of Christ, and we can discern what is an open door from the Holy Spirit or what is a trapdoor from the enemy. We've talked about trapdoors all lead to the same outcome: peaceless, powerless, and paralyzed. Let's say this again. Peaceless, powerless, and paralyzed. That's exactly how the enemy wants us to live, with those three outcomes. John 10:10, Jesus was speaking, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy." His plan is to destroy God's children. So we've been unpacking these three big trapdoors. First week, the trapdoor of offense. Last week, the trapdoor of temptation. Did anyone use their battle plan this week? Did anyone move their lines in a little bit? Was anyone challenged with that message last week? I was challenged. We got to pre-decide those pre-decisions. We got to pre-decide. We know our enemy. We know our battle lines. We know our battle toll. We know our battle companions, our confession, our position. But strap yourself in, because this is the final week. And who knows, the landing can sometimes get a little bumpy during a turbulent flight. So out of the three trapdoors we're confronting, this is definitely the hardest. It's the hardest to see in ourselves, and it's probably, if I'm honest, going to be the hardest one to speak about. But this is the easiest one to see in other people. So the trapdoor today is the hardest to see in ourselves, but really easy to see. You know, people can kind of cover up if they're offended. They can definitely cover up their temptations. They can keep them behind closed doors. But this one, no, this one is public. Now, some of you are going to get really annoyed online and in the room, because this is what you're thinking. The person who needs to hear this is not here today. So some of you are going to be thinking, "I wish." And some of you are going to be doing this to your spouse. But the good news is you're here. The good news is you're watching. So I have a feeling that God wanted you here today and me here today. And one of the tragedies of this trapdoor we're talking about is that far few recognize it, and even fewer fail to deal with it. You're all wondering what we're going to talk about, aren't you? Don't all jump up and down. We're going to talk about the trapdoor of insecurity. Ooh. It's like the build-up to Christmas, isn't it? Ooh. More than ever, we have an epidemic of insecurity in our world today. It is an absolute identity crisis of people who do not know who they are. People are searching and craving to find their identity in who they know, what they own, their position at work, how many qualifications they don't have or do have, and people are screaming out to find out who they are. And all of us, starting with me, because out of the three trapdoors, this would be the hardest one for me. So I'm going to be totally up front on this one. All of us have to deal with insecurity. All of us, in one form or another. I actually think about speaking about insecurities as actually a good thing. People will never grow from your strengths. This is true. People never grow from our strengths. They grow from our weaknesses. It's actually, if you only show your strengths to the world, it will not make others feel close to you. When we admit our insecurities with others and we're real, what happens is we actually draw people closer to ourselves. If you only ever admit your strengths, and there are some seriously strong individuals, you're all strong. But if we only admit our strengths, it actually makes other people feel insecure. So can we be real today? Can we have 30 minutes together of real talk? All right. So we're going to start with some real practical things, and then we're going to jump into the scriptures. Is that okay? Yeah. So how do we know if we struggle with insecurity? So these are personal to me. So don't judge me, okay? Because you'll probably see yourself in some of these things. I'm going to share four or five ways to identify if you and I struggle with insecurity. Number one is this: we act like Mary Poppins. What's that got to do with anything? Practically perfect in every way. Insecurity prides itself in perfection. Everyone else is the problem. It's always someone else's. I said, don't judge me. Number two, we constantly feel the need to impress people. So if we're insecure, we constantly find the need to impress others. And social media is magnifying this problem. Look where I am. Look who I've been with. Look what I'm wearing. So social media is magnifying all this. Number three, we crave a fix of comments, likes, and followers. We feel the need to keep receiving comments on social media so people can stroke our egos. People feel like they have to keep giving us a fix of comments, a fix of compliments, a fix of encouragement, and eventually it gets tiring on everyone. And by the way, we all need encouragement. But the danger of encouragement is when we crave it so much just to get through life. People are glued to their social media platforms. What are they searching for? They're searching for a fix. A fix to the insecurities. Number four is this. The four things when to know if we struggle is we find our friendship circle diminishing. People don't want to be around us. You see, insecurity always pushes us towards isolation. Because of all the above, we find ourselves in a lonely space. And number five is this: we try and control others. Insecurity tries to control the world around us in an attempt for us to feel better about ourselves. Now, can anyone see some of the dangers of insecurity? We're not going to dwell there. We're going to dwell on what God's word says about us. But I just wanted to highlight what insecurity does. Now, has anyone or is anyone brave enough to say, I spotted someone I know in one of those five? Is anyone even braver to say, I spotted myself in one of those? I think we can all be honest on at least one. I think wrestling with insecurity doesn't make any of us a bad person. I think it just makes us a human being. I think this is the way it is, and we all struggle, and no one is exempt from this trapdoor. So there's two definitions for insecurity. One I'm going to give as a natural definition, and one I'm going to give as a spiritual definition. The natural definition really only gives the problem, but the spiritual definition highlights the problem and also gives us a solution. So the natural definition is simply, for insecurity, is to be lacking in security. To be lacking in security. We base our value on what people say about us or the way people treat us. But the spiritual definition, I love this. We find our worth and value, that's the problem, our worth and value, that's the solution to the problem, in what God's word says about us. We find our value in what God's word says about you and I. What gives you and I our value is who we are in Christ. Now, I'm going to share a little secret with you. If you're new to faith, if you're new to church, I want to share a little secret with you. Ready? Every single person on planet Earth is equally valuable to God. Yeah. Every single person. Yeah. Whether they're serving a sentence in jail right now, whether they've committed heinous crimes, whatever their gender is, whatever their sexuality is, whatever their race is, whatever, anything, every single person is equally valuable to God. The secular view of security comes from the outside in, but God's view of security comes from the inside out. Our value comes from who we are in Christ. Not who we know, what we wear, who we hang out with, how many followers we have. Our value in Christ is based from the inside out on knowing who we are. Ephesians 3:20, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, according to what? The power at work in us. Our world is looking for the power at work around them. But God's work is inside of us. The good news is this, we don't have to live with insecurity. And I'm believing at the end of this service, God is going to break some insecurities in people's lives. And that doesn't happen overnight, it's a process. But who knows, today could be the start of something beautiful where people find freedom in Christ. Because our Heavenly Father wants us all to live secure in Him. So I want to share, I'm going to call these 3 daily freedom prayers. Okay, I want you to pray these 3 prayers every day. I'm calling them freedom prayers. Because God wants to speak freedom over His church. These are freedom prayers, and I want you to write these down. And every morning, before you go on to work, before you go onto your social media, before you go into school, into university, I want you to pray these 3 prayers. Are you ready? Are you ready for freedom prayer number 1? I'm going to bring this back with me. Okay, freedom prayer number 1. Ready? God, love me through my insecurities. This is the first antidote for insecurity. Are you ready? The unconditional love of God. Unconditional. God never stops loving us. We just stop believing it. This is what happens. Insecurity creeps in when we stop believing that God's love is unconditional. Human love is conditional. You do that, I'll do this. You buy me this one, I'll buy you the next one. Human love is conditional, but God's love is unconditional. Every time the feelings of insecurity rise up, our first response has to be this. I've got to remind myself what God thinks about me. Not what others think about me. John 13:23 says, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loves, was reclining at the table. Who knows that Jesus loved all his disciples? But John gave himself a nickname. Imagine giving yourself the nickname, the one that Jesus loved. Nobody wrote in Scripture, the one that Jesus loved, apart from John, about himself. Who thinks that's a little bit odd? He was writing that letter about himself. On the surface, I think it looks like John's been a bit cocky and arrogant. Or did he just have his identity in the right place? I think John had a deeper understanding of God's love for him than the rest. You see, when we understand just how much God loves us, it changes the way we see ourselves. This is why daily devotion is critical. This is so much of my teaching, is to help you in your personal daily devotion. It's to take some of these lessons home and every day pray these freedom prayers as part of your prayer life. And you know, this is what I want to help us with this week. I want to share the key to reading your Bible, because sometimes we read our Bible. The key to reading your Bible is read it from the standpoint of not what do I have to do to get God to love me more, but read it from the standpoint of what God has already done for me. The Bible is a love letter. Who ever received a love letter at school? College. Not many love letters going around this church. I used to pass Chantel love letters during Bible school. I used to pass them down the row. True story. See if it works in church. Maybe you spot someone down the row and you just write a little letter and you never know. Don't say I didn't help. Why do we keep encouraging our church to read their Bibles? Because it is a love letter. God wrote a love letter to his church. And every time you pick it up, the Bible is not to condemn you or judge you. It's to remind you how much God loves you. This is why the enemy wants us obsessed by anything but God's word. Because God's word reminds us daily of his unconditional love towards us. Craig Rochelle said this. He said, becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Our worth and value is not based on what we do or who we know, but the fact that we are a child of God. One of the questions people ask me a lot as a public speaker is this: do you ever get nervous in front of hundreds, sometimes thousands of people? Who would get nervous in this role? Trust me, I get nervous. There's not a session I ever do where I don't stand at the side and think, wow, I've got to go up there in a minute. Okay. But this is something that helped me years ago. Someone told me this. He said, John, you got to switch your thinking from what people think about what you're wearing, what you look like, are they listening, da da da, to how much you love them. On how much you love them. So when I stand in worship, I look around and I just look at individuals and I think how much I love them. And that, when I switch it from it's about me to it's about them, the nerves disappear. Hey, ready? Perfect love casts out all fear. So when you have to stand up and do something publicly, take your eyes off yourself and put your eyes onto others and think, wow, this is such a privilege. I looked over, I saw Bill and Val worshiping. I thought, man, that couple, I just my heart went out. They are just the most incredible couple who love people, love church, love their family. And in that, fear disappears. So we have to switch our thinking. You know, no matter how much we attend church, serve on team, feed the homeless, give, tithe, God's love for you and I remains the same. Insecurity is actually just another word for fear. It really is. Insecurity is rooted in fear. It's fear of not being accepted, fear of no one liking you. 1 John 4:18 in the New Living Translation says this: where God's love is, there is no fear. Look at this. Where God's love is, there is no insecurity, because God's perfect love drives out insecurity. It is punishment that makes a person fear, insecure. So love is not made perfect in the person who is insecure. Wow. You want to get rid of insecurity in your life? Get God's love in there. You want to get rid of insecurity in that relationship? Get God's love in there. You need to get rid of some insecurity in the office? Get God's love in there. You want to get rid of some insecurity on your social media? Get your face out and get God's love in. You feel insecure and you've got to keep posting so everyone gets impressed? Just put a scripture up about how much God loves people. We don't need any more toes by the pool. We need to let our world know about God's unconditional love towards them. You know, we have preached the opposite to fear for years. The opposite to fear is what? Faith. I actually think the opposite to fear is love. Because whenever I invite God's love in the front door of my life, insecurity leaves the back door. And we have to keep inviting daily God's love. Both our children from time to time have bad dreams. Anyone else has kids? Does anyone else, they run into your bedroom in the middle of the night and you think, you're in the middle of a deep sleep and you think, oh my goodness, you just... And Justice a few weeks ago was having a bad dream and he runs in and you sort of 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you think, oh my goodness, what are you doing, son? And he just stands there. Now, can you imagine if I said to my son, Justice, get back to bed, speak faith into the atmosphere, declare light over darkness, speak the word of God in faith. No. He ain't doing any of that. What does he need? Love. So this is what we say, Justice, come in here. And we wrap our arms of love around him. Back to sleep. Wow. Perfect love casts out all fear, all insecurity. We have to remind ourselves that the remedy for insecurity is love. Despite our flaws and our failures and our imperfections, and let me tell you, there is many, many of those in me, God's love for us will never, ever end. I love what Isaiah 54:10 says. It says this, my love for you will never end. We could just go home now. We could literally park up now and go and tell 10 people how much God loves us, because his love for you will never end. You know, there are two things that human beings crave for. These are the two things. Doesn't matter how much money you've got, how many followers you've got, where you live, there's two things that human beings crave for. Number one is unconditional love, and number two is acceptance. And do you know what? The old dirty devil, he knows to attack us in both those areas. He attacks us in our view of ourselves and acceptance of ourselves. Let me just share something that I think will help some of you. Any time that I've taught on the love of God, when I go home, I always feel, oh, John, you say that every week. Oh, God loves you. It's like cliche. God loves you. God loves you. And then this week, God reminded me, I can never hear it enough from Chantel that she loves me. And do you know what? As a church, you can never hear it enough that your Abba Father in heaven loves you. And that, I think, goes into relationships as well. We can never hear it enough from each other that we love each other. Oh, but I said it on her birthday. It's not enough. And God wants to say this today. He loves you. He loves you. And you say, well, you don't know what I've done this week. God does, and he still loves you. Well, I've been canceled. God didn't cancel you. I've had some dark thoughts. God says, I know, but you're still here, and I still love you. And someone just needs to hear today, this is personal for you right now, God's love for you is never ending. My love for you will never end. Do you know love breeds such a beautiful security in us? I can even feel the atmosphere changing. When you speak about the love of God, it breeds security, because suddenly your value, your stock goes up. Suddenly you feel like you can get through another day. Who knows that God loves them? Who knows that God accepts them? Then why don't we start acting differently? I'm going to do that again. Who knows that God loves them?
Yeah.
Little me from England. Who knows that God loves them? Yes. Then start acting like he loves you. Walk securely. We don't have to get God to love us. Just accept today, God loves me. Get a fresh revelation today. God loves you. But I'm not a Christian. He still loves you. But I don't believe in him. He still loves you. But I've said some bad things about God. He's all right. He'll get over it. He still loves you. But I haven't been to church for 3 months. He still loves you. But I don't give. He still loves you. You should give. All right, freedom prayer number one. God love me through my insecurities. Do you want freedom prayer number two? God, heal me out of my insecurities. God doesn't just want to keep reminding you he loves you. God wants to heal you in the process. 2013, 2 days before we flew back to England to start this adventure we find ourselves in. Just over 10 years ago, we went out for one final meal together, Chantel and I, and we were sitting at the waterfront in Cape Town. And our steak and chips had just arrived. And so did a text message from the babysitter. literally at the same time. I'm telling you, this was the worst ever text. It was the final steak and chip dinner. Your daughter has fallen, cut her eye on the table, and she is now an accident and emergency. If you'd like to come, you can. And I looked at my steak and chips, and we looked at it, and we left. And we headed to the Cape Town Medical Clinic, and that amazing doctor was operating on Miracle Joy. But you know, when Chantel got, I think there's another photo, Chantel, there she is, bless her. She's still got the scar, and Chantel was culling her and loving her, but do you know what? And I felt to share this, it wasn't enough just to love her. We had to make sure she was healed. Yes. And for some of you, God just doesn't want to love you. He wants to heal you. And love is the starting point for healing, but it doesn't end there. God doesn't just want to love you and I in our insecurities. He wants to heal us out of them. And so this is how God heals us out of insecurity. And I'm going to share 4 or 5 ways that God heals us out of insecurity. And the first one is really difficult because it's God, I admit that I need healing. You've actually got to admit it. And this is incredibly difficult. I'm not admitting anything. I'm a real man. We've got to be brave enough to admit we struggle with some of these things. I came away from social media for 12 months for many reasons, but one of them is this. I needed to be free from me. This is a big deal, to be free from you. Offense and temptation can often be about being free from others, but insecurity is about being free from yourself. Needing people to post about me, needing people to like me, needing people to follow me. I'm not whole in this area, but I'm healing. And if you recognize yourself at the start of this message in any of those 5 areas, you probably need some sort of healing. God wants his children whole. Who's got children and you want to see them whole? Every area of their life. This is an area the devil loves to open a door for us to walk through. Second thing we've got to ask in how we get healed is this. The second step is ask this big question, what have I attached my worth to? What is my identity in? If my identity is not in Christ, then it has to be in something else. And it's not wrong to have hobbies. Social media is great. All these things are fine. It's when we place our identity in them. And if we do not use God's word to set the standard for ourselves, we will use the world's standards. God's handbook, the Bible, is the standards that we live by. So we start, our identity is in how we look, and I think it's good to take care of ourselves. But don't try to be someone else. Often the people we're comparing ourselves to on Instagram have had every little blemish airbrushed out. They've paid money to look the way they look. I think when it comes to our look, I think it's this. Do the best with what you have. That should free someone. Just do the best with what God's given you. Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am, let's read this together, fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. This is the standard we live by, God's word. This is the standard we base our identity on. God's children find their identity and their value in God's word. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. It's great we get compliments and encouragement, but our identity is found in Scripture. The third way God heals us out of our insecurity is this, we have to attack back. Attack back. Insecurity, just like temptation, just like offense, is an enemy of God, and we have to fight back. And this is where we have to daily confess our security in him. We use our words where the enemy hates them the most. God loves to hear your voice. Who loves to hear your kids' voices? That's why you go to your kids' Easter production at school and Christmas show and you queue up in the cold. And you sit on a tiny little seat that is not made for an adult. But you sit there for 2 hours and you wait while every other child comes in and your child says 3 words in the Christmas play and you've given 2.5 hours of your day for those 3 words. Why? Because you love to hear their voice. God loves to hear your voice. God loves you and he loves to hear you. So when you pray, God loves to hear your voice. I love listening to my children pray because I love to hear their voice. So what does this mean practically tomorrow morning? It means this: let the devil know tomorrow that you know who you are in Christ. Don't you dare say one negative thing about yourself this week. All you're doing is helping the devil. The devil says you're stupid and you say, I know. The devil says you're not good enough and you agree. The devil says you'll be single forever. Yep. The Bible says if 2 or 3 of you agree anything on earth, it will be done. Be careful that you do not come in agreement even with the devil. Okay. So let's practice our war cry tomorrow morning. Are you ready? This is our war cry. If you struggle with insecurity, I want you to say this tomorrow morning and every morning this week. I am confident in who I am in Christ. Let's say it together. I am confident in who I am in Christ. Now, who's going to be brave enough to stand up in front of all these people and shout it out? Come on, you'd say it. Come on, you declare it out and you let the devil hear it. I am confident in who I am in Christ. Keep going, I haven't said stop. All right. Called the law of repetition. My dad used to give me these little cards when we used to do tests for my GCSEs. Who said sit down? I did. And he used to say, John, just repeat that every morning, repeat that every morning. You know what? By the end of the test, I knew what I was doing. You will be tested tomorrow. Keep going. I am confident in who I am in Christ. All right, you can sit down. You passed the test. Well done. And on the days you feel less secure, you shout it louder. Write it on the wall in your office. Write it on your mouse. Write it in your car. I am confident in who I am in Christ. You know, scientific fact says we believe more about what we say about ourselves than what anyone else says about us. Wow. Often we look for someone else to build us up, and God says, no, I've given you a tongue. You use it. 1 Samuel 36 says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. All right, I'm going to share one more way to heal from insecurity, and this is difficult. You ready? Affirm others. Often the reason we feel insecure is we're threatened by others. And our response to insecurity has to be the exact opposite to our feelings. We encourage and celebrate the success of those who made us feel insecure. You're single, someone's posting marriage pics, celebrate with them. Went quiet. You feel like you have a gift to sing, preach, lead, building, encourage those who are doing it. Oh, they're always getting a go. Same old people on stage. Why don't you encourage them? Instead of feeling insecure about it, why don't you do the exact opposite to what you're feeling. We go out of our way to celebrate the accomplishments of others. Encouragement breaks down the walls that insecurity builds up. When you celebrate the person at work who got the promotion that you wanted, you know what you're doing? You're guarding your heart. I love this. The great thing about other people's successes is they bring to the surface my insecurities. Shall I say that again? The great thing about other people's successes is they surface my insecurities. We should actually thank them. Thank you, Stephen Furtick, for being a freak of nature when it comes to preaching God's word, because you are. And we are blessed to have you in our generation. No notes, no anything, just you. Thank you. Thank you for singing better than me. Thank you that you got a new house. Thank you that you're climbing the corporate ladder. Insecurity is broken with encouragement. It's not getting any cheers, but I didn't expect it to. Admit, ask, attack, affirm. God, heal me out of my insecurities. One more one, one last one. Freedom number three. Freedom prayer number three. This is my favorite. God, use me despite of my insecurities. God, heal me through my insecurities. God love me through my insecurities. God, heal me out of my insecurities. And then God, use me despite my insecurities. Wow. God doesn't want to just love you or heal you. Guess what he wants to do? He wants to use us. This final freedom prayer is for anyone who've maybe given weight to the narrative that God can't use me because of. God can't use me because of where I grew up. God can't use me because of my age. God can't use me because of my lack of education. God can't use me because I'm a single parent. God can't use me because of my addiction. God can't use me because I completely screwed up and fell through one of these trapdoors. So God, you can't use me. And then the devil starts whispering the same thing. God can't use you anymore. God can't use you with that eating disorder. God can't use you because you cheated on your partner. God can't use you because of that criminal record. And the list goes on. Yet as we spoke about a few weeks ago in Joshua chapter 2, two Israelite spies are sent into Jericho to spy out the land. Israel was about to be invaded and they needed some inside intel. And when they reach the city, they stay with a lady called Rahab. She wasn't a royal. She wasn't a professional. She was a prostitute. And she hides Caleb and Joshua from the king of Jericho and saves them. And God used a prostitute to bring a whole nation into freedom. This is what I realized, is that God didn't change Rahab before he used her. God can still use us despite our insecurities. And this is difficult to understand, but God will often use us before he fixes us. Has anyone ever used you and you're like, God, why are you using me? Just me. Because I've got stuff going on, yet you're still using me. So sometimes what's stopping us loving others or serving or getting into a group is we want to deal with our issues, our insecurities, our trapdoors, and God says, no, I can still use you despite of them. Every single person on this platform, I can guarantee you, has had a negative thought, a lustful thought, a dark thought this week, yet he still used them to bless you today. Is that true? We all screwed up this week, yet God used us to bless you. So God uses us before he fixes us. God's love is not the reward for when we change. God's love is the starting point for change. God doesn't reward us like, John, you've lived a perfect week. You've done everything, so I'm going to reward you with a little bit more love this Sunday. No. Love is the starting point for change. And I'm going to finish with this, but in Matthew chapter 1, and sometimes The genealogy parts of the Bible we skip over. I'll admit it, I did it this week. First Chronicles. Sometimes God speaks to us in the stuff that we often hop over. It's the genealogy of Jesus. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David, Son of Abraham. It tells us how we got here. But there's someone on that list who is quite surprising. It says in verse 5, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. To get to Jesus, the hero of the story, you have to go through a prostitute. To get to Jesus, who saved you and I in his genealogy, you have to go through someone who's totally broken. God works through imperfect people like you and I to get to perfect people like Jesus. Imperfection. So don't you dare this week say, I'm not good enough. I've screwed up. I'm not qualified enough. God wants to still use you this week. Then watch this, the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, Hall of Faith, spiritual heavyweights. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed for those who were in disobedience. And verse 32 is probably one of the most staggering scriptures, because if you were going to talk about some people, you'd want to talk about, if we can just move it on there. And what more shall I say? The writer of Hebrews says, I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, about David, Sam. He says, I ain't got time for that lot, but I will talk about an imperfection. I will talk about someone who was broken and screwed up, yet I still used her. And God skips over David. He skips over Samson. He skips over the prophet Samuel and says, you know what? I want to talk to you about Rahab. I'll give Rahab some time. A prostitute is mentioned in the Bible Hall of Fame. Now, I need the ones who feel like they don't belong to thank God that he still uses imperfect people today. Is there anyone saying, God, today I'm imperfect, I feel insecure, I've been through some trapdoors, yet God still uses imperfect people? So there are freedom prayers this week. God, love me through my insecurities. God, heal me out of my insecurities. And God, use me despite my insecurities. I believe today, as we stand together, all over this room, even if you're at home in your living room, why don't you stand in your kitchen? It's just an act to say, God, I'm taking this moment seriously. If you're in the garden, just stand right now, because God wants to remind you of his love towards you. God wants to heal you today. God wants to use you. Saying today, John, I'll be honest, that message spoke to me. I've struggled with insecurity my whole life, my identity. I've looked for it in so many things, but today, God, I'm switching up a bit, because I am confident in who I am in Christ. And today I understand it's the perfect love of God, the unconditional love of God. And God wants to cover your shame and your guilt with his love. The Bible says his banner over us is love. Maybe other people have put in a banner over your life. Finished, insecure, canceled, not good enough. Doesn't look the right way. And God says, no, I created you in my image and I love you just the way you are. You don't have to try and compare yourself to others, to Hollywood, to social media, to the way our world is going. But God says, I love you just the way you are. But today, I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes, including those on stage. If you say today, John, I struggle this area, this trapdoor. I keep going through it and my identity's all in the wrong place. But today, I need you to love me through it, heal me out of it, and use me despite of it. Just slip up your hand right now and say, God, I need you. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to clap. This is a private moment. This is a private moment. Just lift it up nice and high. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our first antidote, Father, is to receive the unconditional love of God. And right now, for everyone who struggles with this trapdoor, I pray that you would receive the perfect love of God. His perfect love casts out fear, insecurity. Receive his love right now. Receive his love. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can't earn this love today. It's a gift. Receive it. God, heal me out of my insecurity. This is our war cry this week. I am confident in who I am in Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd give your children confidence to speak out, Father, on the way to work, university, Lord. They would speak out their confidence in who they are in Christ. And God, use us. Use us despite of our insecurities. God, I pray, Father God, those who've written themselves off, say, I'm not good enough to serve, I'm not good enough to be in community. Maybe those who are watching, I'm not even good enough to walk in the building. I pray that you'd release people right now. Release people right now from shame and guilt and fear, Father. Lord, I speak your love and your freedom, Father, in Jesus' name. God, that you would use us all despite of our insecurities and our flaws. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing this out. I want to pray for confidence in people. Maybe you've had your confidence knocked because everyone else seems to be, you know, promoted. Everyone else seems to be chosen, but you felt like you've just lived in obscurity. You felt like that you were missed. You felt like that no one saw you. And God says, I still see you. Someone needs to be reminded today that God still sees you. God still sees your heart for the lost. God sees your heart. And maybe there's been things that have come in and you've made decisions and you feel a little bit like Rahab. God, could you ever use me? God says, I can't just use you. You're in the Hall of Fame. We're still talking about her. 2,000 years later, we still talk about Rahab. God can use Rahab. God can use all of us. If you felt like that you've been forgotten, left behind, would you just slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. Could be in a job situation, family situation. You just feel like everyone else has been chosen, but feel like David in the field, you've been left behind. God wants to remind you today, he still sees you. He still sees you. He still sees you. He still sees you today. He still sees you. He's still got a plan for you. His plans are still to prosper you. His plans are still to favor you. So Father, I pray for everyone who feels alone. They feel like they've been left behind. Everyone else has been chosen, promoted. But Father, I pray that they would feel their confidence again in you. I pray for a new confidence and a new Holy Spirit boldness to come upon them this week. I thank you, Lord, that we go into this week with your strength, not our strength, with your confidence, not our confidence. And we place our value, we place our identity, we place it in you and you alone. And God wants to remind you today that God still uses imperfect people. God still uses imperfect people like you and like me. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Let's sing it one more time. Amen. Amen. Insecurity, you have no right in our lives. You have no right this week. Father, we put on the mind of Christ. Our security is in you. It's not in other people's opinion of us. It is in you, Father God. Our identity is in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to pray for one more group of people. You came today and this is maybe all new to you. It's a completely new experience. Maybe you've only been to a wedding and a funeral in a very different kind of setting. The same God in that setting is here today. It's the same God who loves you. Maybe you could relate to some of the things that I was talking about, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've never invited Jesus to become the Lord and the Savior of your life. Maybe you felt you're not good enough to become a Christian. Maybe things have happened in your life, in your past, and you've always kind of discounted yourself that you could ever know that God loves you. Well, he does love you today. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you. He shed his blood that we could have forgiveness for our past. We could have freedom for today and we could have a hope for tomorrow. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the love of Jesus. You can't earn this love. Human love, you've got to earn it. Remember someone's birthday, Christmas, and love is transactional, but God's love was never transactional. It was a one-way love that he went to the cross and he died for you. All that's simply left is for you to receive that love. And this is the receiving moment of the service. I'd love every believer in this place to pray quietly online. But if you say today, John, I want to receive the unconditional love of Jesus over my past to give me freedom for today and hope for tomorrow, I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to simply count to three. When I get to three, would you just slip up your hand? Would you leave it up long enough and high enough so I can see it? I want to pray for you all over this room from the front to the back. One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. Say, John, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, God bless you. 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 All right. Here's what we're going to do. I want to personally pray with you. So I'm going to invite you right now to come, and it's a brave step, a courageous step, but it's a step that we need to take. I want you to, you can bring a friend if you came with a friend. Would you just step out of your seat? I'm going to come and stand down the front and we're going to pray together. Okay, so don't even think about it twice. Just you come. If you lifted up your hand, you begin to come. You bring a friend, bring a loved one. Come on, I want us to cheer. You stand. Come on, you're stepping into a brand new life. Wanted you to know that was such a bold, courageous step. I don't know your past. I don't know your story. But all I know is what I was teaching today was for you. Because God still uses imperfect people like you and I. God still has a plan for us. Well done. Amazing. Praise God. God still uses us despite of our past. And God's got a perfect plan for you. I know maybe life hasn't gone the way you thought, and maybe you've made some choices that you're not proud of. And God says, you know what? Every single one of those choices, I can make right. I can make right. Because you've taken a step today, and we call it a step of faith, where you step out of your seat and you say, God, I don't understand, but Lord, I'm putting my life into your hands. And God says, leave it with me. Leave this decision with me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. And I believe today is going to be a turning point for you, for your future. I still feel there's one or two people who need to be here. If you want to still come, you come. Okay, we can wait. You can come. There's no rush. We don't rush this moment. This is people's lives. But we're going to say this prayer out loud together. You ready? It's going to come up on the screen behind me. And I want you to say this prayer from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. To forgive all my sin and failures. I believe that you rose from the dead so that I can have a brand new life. Please come into my heart and help me by the power of the Holy Spirit to trust and to live for you. Amen. Amen. Would you congratulate everyone who said that prayer? Amazing. Just hold on 1 second. We want to give you a gift. We want to give you some information about following Jesus. And if you could see the face of these people, God's just literally come into your heart. And this is a new day. And the old is gone. This is a brand new start. So we've got a tiny little traditional chapel on my left, on your right. And this is Graham here. And you're just going to follow Graham. And we're going to give you a Bible and some information about the next steps and help you. And then you're going to jump straight back into the end of the service. But come on, as they head out, would you give them a huge cheer? Let's pray these prayers together. Are you ready? God, love me through my insecurities. God, heal me out of my insecurities. God, use me despite my insecurity. Amen. Amen. They're your freedom prayers. Take hold of them this week. Pray them, declare them by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @soulchurchuk. Take care and God bless.